Nam om jag har en gejkjå, nam om jag har en gejkjå, nam om jag har en gejkjå, nam om jag har en gejkjå. Hey everyone, I hope this finds you in good health and secure. We are continuing with the Lotus Sutra. We are in the brilliant 16th chapter. I think we'll finish it today. Let's just get right into it, shall we? Again, good sons, good daughters, the method of all Buddha Tathagatas is always like this. In order to save all the living, and it is altogether real and not false. So, this universal truth of all phenomena, including you and me and everyone and everything and your pets, have this, we are born of this nature, and if we recall it, awaken it in our mind, it's already there. What it requires is that we have a way to subdue this constant feverish disease of attachment, ownership, right? What do we think of as prosperity in the world? Stuff, having more stuff than they have stuff, more new stuff, newer stuff, stuff that isn't made yet that will get made just so we can have that stuff. Craving, clinging, it's the source of all our worries, our anxieties, our stress, our suffering. Gotta shut that down. And still, people who don't understand Tathagata want to take samsaric desires and bring them to this ultimate method of enlightenment. What are you doing? You're shutting it down harder. Instead of opening your Gohonzon mind, you're sticking nails in it. Because if I stick more nails in it, it'll be more solid and then I'll be happy. I'll have more stuff. I'll fix things. Nothing needs to be fixed. But Sifu, this doesn't work. That doesn't work. I'm diabetic. I have a disease. I'm dying of cancer. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying you're a liar. I'm saying if you think you can plead like a prayer to this mandala, and somehow some magical Buddha is going to come down and go and fix it, you don't understand Buddhism at all. Buddha is an experience. It's not a experience of something different. It's a different experience of the same thing. Should I say that again? Buddha is an experience. It's a different experience than the one that you're having right now. The Buddha experience doesn't change the universe. The Buddha experience is the experience changed of the same universe. There's no magic here. It's not even mysterious. It's just hard to understand. Okay, Shakyamuni said it. Nichiren repeats it. This is difficult to understand, difficult to accept. But the problems you think you have that groups, people, religionists want to tell you can fix by taking it to this mandala. That's religion. That's magic. That's not Buddhism. What needs to change is your mind. Your Buddha mind sees without judgment, sees only opportunity, sees magnificence in everything. sees wonder in every moment-to-moment that life is instantiating. Oh, look at this. What can I do with this? Oh, look at this. Wow, it comes with a broken leg. Cool. What do we do with that? Don't let that broken leg stop you. Look at this. Life, 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 life. It's so exciting. Yeah, it's a really, really, really tough lesson to learn. That you and I are getting in our own way. That's the only English I can put to it. That makes it any more clearer. If you don't feel good about something, if you think something is wrong, something needs to change outside of you, you're in samsara. That's straightforward. It's that simple. So please do not think of Buddhism in that way. Namo myoho renge kyo. With my Buddha mind, I see everything. Nothing needs to be fixed. I just need to take maximal opportunity in my life right now as it is moving forward. The words come out easily, but do you really get it? Suppose, for instance, a good physician who is wise and perspicacious, conversant with medical art and skillful in healing all sorts of disease. He has many sons, say 10, 20, even up to 100. Because of some matter, he goes abroad to a distant country. Okay? After his departure, his sons drink his other poisonous medicines. Not knowing any different. They say, oh, look, it's purple. Let's have some of that. See what that does. Which sent them into a delirium. And they lie rolling on the ground. Now, I know some of you, I've had students who would hear this and go, cool, I won't try that. It's very maddening. But that's humans. At this moment, their father comes back to his home. Of the sons who drank the poison, some have lost their senses. Others are still sensible, but not at all well. But on seeing their father approaching in the distance, they are all greatly delighted. Oh, kneeling, saluting him, asking, how good is it that you have returned in safety? We, in our foolishness, have mistakenly dosed ourselves with poison. We beseech that you heal us and give us back our lives. Those are the ones that still have their senses. The other ones are still... The father, seeing his sons in such distress, in accordance with his prescriptions, seeks for good herbs altogether perfect in color, scent, and fine flavor, and then pounds, sifts, and mixes them, and gives them to his sons to take, speaking thus, this excellent medicine, right? He doesn't go, you idiots, right? He sees they're sick, they did something stupid, but that's the past. He doesn't focus on it. He doesn't berate them. He says, now's the time for healing. Let's fix this. What a great father. This is what you need to do with yourself. Be a great parent to yourself. This excellent medicine with color, scent, and fine flavor altogether perfect, you may now take. And it is all at once, you will rid yourself of your distress so that you will have no more suffering. Suffering, no accident he uses that word, right? Because this is a parable. as he's talking about the Lotus Sutra and the Buddhist teaching. Right? The poison? Other erroneous thoughts. Other erroneous practices. Oh, I'll drink the Butsudan water and that'll be sacred. I've heard that from teens too. You guys make up every manner of ritual and magic, but you're not practicing Buddhism. It's so straightforward. Why do you want to complicate it? Okay, here's the proper medicine. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. This will work right away. Those amongst the sons who are sensible, seeing this excellent medicine with color and scent both good, take it immediately and are totally delivered from their illness. The others, who have lost their senses, seeing their father come, though they are also delighted, "Hi, Dad, you're home," salute him and ask him to heal their illness. Yet, when he offers them the medicine, they're unwilling to take it. What is this? I'm having a good time. What are you giving me now? Just take it. Oh, no. Sons and daughters, yeah? For what reason? Because the poison has entered deeply. They have lost their senses. And even in regard to this medicine of excellent color and scent, they acknowledge that it is not good. The father reflects thus. Oh, alas for these sons afflicted by this poison and their minds all unbalanced. Though they are glad to see me and implore to be healed, yet they are unwilling to take such excellent medicine as this. Now I must arrange an expedient plan. I've got to trick them so that they will take this medicine. Because still, he's a father. He wants them to live. He doesn't want them to die of their own stupidity. As angry as he may want to get at these children, he has more compassion to see them make it through this. Let's focus on the compassion. Okay, calm down. Then he says to them, "You should know that I'm now worn out with old age, and the time of my death has now arrived. This excellent medicine I now leave here, take it, don't take it. You may take it and have no fear of not getting better or being better." After thus admonishing them, he departs again for another country. Bye.
Oh, no, that's leaving.
Bye. After this, blah, 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 he departs for another country. And then, after a little bit, he sends a messenger back to inform them, "Your father's dead."
Huh?
Yeah, he died. And now, when those sons hear that their father is dead, their minds are greatly distressed and screwed up. But they thus reflect, "If our father were alive, he would have pity on us, and we should be emancipated and preserved. But now he's left us and died in a distant country. Now we feel we are orphans, and we have no one to rely on except yourselves." Continuous grief brings them to their senses, probably crying out the poison. And they recognize the color, scent, and excellent flavor of the medicine, and thereupon they take it.
What the hell? Even if it kills us.
Their poisoning being entirely relieved. Now they get back to their senses.
"He was giving us good medicine, but we were so screwed up we didn't know it."
Continuous grief brings them to their senses, right? The father, hearing that the sons are all recovered, seeks an opportunity and returns so that they all see him. What? "Oh, my good sons and daughters, what is your opinion? Are there any
who could say that this good physician had committed the error of delusion or falsehood? Well, it wasn't pretty, was it? But yeah, if he hadn't done that, they would have, those children, those sons, they would have died just from their own foolishness, right? He had to do something. And it was a gamble. So everyone answers, no, world honored one, it wasn't a falsehood or a delusion. It was an expedient. He had to do something. The Buddha then said, I also am like this. Since I became Buddha, infinite, boundless, hundreds, thousands, myriad, kotas of nayusas, vasamkaya, kalpas ago, for the sake of all living beings, by my tactful power I've declared that I must enter nirvana. Yet there is none who can lawfully accuse me of the error of falsehood. Oh, what's he saying? So there's a little bit of doublespeak going on there, and I'm going to mark that because I want to clear it up, and I will clear it up in the book. When he says, I am also like this, he's speaking as Siddhartha in his enlightenment as Shakyamuni. But remember, Buddha is an instantiation of Tathagata. Tathagata is the universe, it's the cosmos, it's the engine of life. It never lives or dies. It's a condition of the being of the cosmos. When we realize that in our minds, that is Buddha-ness, we finally perceive that ultimate truth of Tathagata, right? So when he says, I am also like this, as a Buddha, since I became Buddha, not a Buddha, since I became enlightened to Tathagata, which is infinitely boundless, hundreds, thousands, myriads, kotas, and nayutas, and vasamkaya, kalpas ago, Tathagata, not me, Shakyamuni, not me, Siddhartha, Buddha connected to Tathagata, it's a timeless thing. And what is Tathagata? It's the thing that liberates us. So a Buddha, an incarnation of a sentient mind, a human communicating with words, with this insight, can exist for the sake of all living beings, and by the tactful power of a Buddha, somebody who understands Tathagata, has declared that I must enter nirvana. Me Buddha, me man, me Buddha. Yet there is none who can lawfully accuse me of error or falsehood. In other words, it's not the end of Tathagata. It's just the end of me, an instantiation of Tathagata that we call Buddha, Buddha-ness. At that time, the world honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse, since I attained Buddhahood, the kalpas through which I, Buddha, have passed, because I see through the eyes of Tathagata now, are infinite thousands of myriads of kotas of asamkaya years. Ceaselessly taught I the law and taught countless kotas of creatures to enter the way of the Buddha. Since then are unmeasured kalpas. In order to save all creatures, by tactful methods, I reveal nirvana, how to detach my constant craving and clinging of the stuff, to witness the stuff, be the stuff with the stuff, momentum moving through time, moment to moment to moment to moment, cycle, life, death, life, death, life, death, 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 life, birth, rebirth, right? Birth, death, rebirth, rebirth, rebirth. Yeah. Whatever words you need to get that staccato life happening in each moment. By tactful methods, I reveal nirvana. Yet truly, the Buddha is not yet extinct.
but forever here, the Tathagata, teaching the law through instantiations of Buddha, or by leaving the law behind that we, bodhisattvas, take on the mantle of Buddha with a way to promulgate this teaching. I, the Buddha, forever remain in this world. I, Tathagata, forever remain in this world, using all my spiritual powers so that all perverted creatures, though I am near, yet fail to see me. Like the physician who went off and said, okay, I'll make like I'm not here. Now maybe you'll come to your senses. All looking on me as extinct, he's gone, dad's dead, everywhere revere my relics, whatever I left behind, the medicine, all cherishing longing desires and beget thirsty hearts of hope. Ah, I need just a little bit more, Father. When all creatures have accepted and obeyed, in character upright, in mind gentle, wholeheartedly wishing to see the Buddha return, not caring for their own material lives, then I, with all the Sangha, appear together on the transcendent vulture peak, the ceremony in the air. And then I tell all the creatures that I exist forever in this world, by the power of tactful methods, revealing myself extinct and not extinct. Right? Buddha extinct, but Tathagata not extinct. Buddha here, Buddha everywhere. Buddha here, Buddha instantiation of ultimate truth. Personification of ultimate truth, ultimate truth. Yeah? If in other regions there are beings reverent and with resolve aspiring, again I am in their midst, to teach the supreme law. You, not hearing of this, only say that I am extinct. But Tathagata is never extinct. I behold all living creatures sunk in the sea of suffering. Hence I do not reveal myself, but set them all aspiring. Till when their hearts are longing, I appear to teach the law. Now that's a brilliant little slip of the mind. Let me tell you how to hear that. Because in his discussion as Buddha, he is also talking to Buddha-ness in all us living beings, all living beings. We hear this statement over and over and over and over. So when he says, I attained Buddha, he is including you and I. So think of that as I reread this little stanza. I behold all living creatures, you and I, sunk in the sea of suffering, samsara. Hence, I do not reveal myself, but set them all aspiring. Through the teaching of the Lotus Sutra, he sets us all aspiring. To what? To his return? No, to Buddha. To Buddha, your connection, your innate, inherent mind of Buddha. Mine, hers, theirs. Aspire to Buddha. I'm going to say it again. Single-mindedly aspiring to meet Buddha. Is this not Nichiren? This is exactly what Nichiren says, yes? And Shakyamuni is saying it right here. Till when their hearts are longing, I appear to teach the law. I appear. Does he appear, he, as another being? Or does he, Buddha, appear in your mind? This is self-teaching. Once again, I remind you, this is a teaching that is individual. It takes your effort. Nobody hands it to you. And when you attain Buddhahood, you know it. You feel it. You sense it. And you keep chasing after it. You aspire to hang on to it. This is the whole practice in a nutshell. So if you know this, if you understand that meeting Buddha, aspiring to your Buddha capacity to see the world, the cosmos, life in its momentum without obstruction, if you understand that, how could you possibly bring into that equation a new car, a healed broken leg, whatever? How does any of that relate or compare to Buddha-ness, which will resolve all of that? It won't matter. Please, please understand this critical point. Over and over again, the Lotus Sutra talks about this. Don't miss it. It's critical. Nichiren spent his whole life trying to make this abundantly clear. In such supernaturally pervading power throughout Asamkhya Kalpas, I am always on the transcendent vulture peak and in every other dwelling place. Yet another powerful statement inspiring Nichiren to create this mandala. This mandala is a picture of vulture peak with the seven-jeweled tower, Namu Myo Renge Kyo, and everybody's lifted spirits into the sky along with it. Right? Your instructions to enshrine a mandala in a butsudan, do we put it on the floor? No, we hang it up high so our chin doesn't go down, so we maintain a nice, like your head is suspended from the sky off a little knot on the top of your head. That's how we want you to breathe clearly as you look upon the mandala. So it has to be above you. Not a lot, just so the bottom of it is at eye level, if you want a specific. So that you are enacting the apparition of the treasure tower. Shakyamuni and Taho both looking at you, Nichiren at the bottom going, here it is, and in the center, the seven jewels, Namu Myo Ho Renge Kyo. So when he says, I'm there always at Vulture Peak, yeah, he's always there at Vulture Peak in our minds. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. When all the living see at the kalpa's end, the conflagration when it is burning, tranquil is the realm of mine. When everything's going to hell in a handbasket, in Buddha, everything is fine. Unattached. Ever filled with heavenly beings, parks and many palaces, with every kind of gem adorned, precious trees full of blossoms and fruits, where all creatures take their pleasures. It's just the ongoing process of the engine of life. Wow. All the universal realms of influence strike the heavenly drums, and evermore make music, showering Mandaravas flowers on the Buddha and his great assembly. All of us. All of humanity. If we just change our minds. And I don't mean take what's there and alter it. I mean leave what's there, Samsara, and take this new vantage point of Buddha, which you have. and look upon Samsara that it is no longer Samsara. What makes Samsara Samsara? We're in the Saha world, the physical world. Samsara is a state of mind with which we look upon the Saha world. That's where all our suffering comes from. But if we're still in the Saha world, it's the only place you can attain Buddhahood is in this Saha world. But what you do is you take Samsara and you go, poof, little dust of Samsara, and look upon the Saha world as it truly is happening moment to moment to moment. That's your Buddha mind. Now, where's Samsara? I don't know. It blew away. Wow, look at this world. It's crazy. It's wonderful. Oh, you really don't need to do that. Why are you hanging on? What is that Samsara thing? To stop it. Look at the world through these eyes you already have, through your Buddha instantiation. It's right there. Look at the world that way. Look at the Saha world as it truly is.
But I don't want to let go of it.
Okay, well. I can't do it for you. You have to change your mind. The Buddha's pure land, right? In other words, the undefiled thinking, when you see things as they truly are, that's the pure land, will never be destroyed. It's the cosmos itself. It can't be destroyed unless it destroys itself. Yet all view it as being burned up, and grief and horror and distress fill them all like this. All those sinful creatures, why are they sinful? Why do you use the word sin? I don't like it. Let's look into that. But you understand what he means, right? People who adhere vehemently to their attachments. No. I'm hanging on to this. By reason of their deluded and malicious karmic repercussions, throughout Asamkaya Kalpas, hear not the name of the precious three. But all who perform virtuous deeds and are gentle and of upright nature, these all see that I exist and am here expounding the law. At times, for all this throng, I teach the Buddha's life is eternal. Again, another word I don't like. Rather than eternal, it should say timeless, right? To those who at length see the Buddha, I teach a Buddha is rarely met, right? Because Tathagata is constant. But the personification of Tathagata into a human who can communicate to you one-on-one, very rare to encounter, right? Not only is it very rare to encounter that as a Buddha, but don't forget, it's your very own Buddha, your Buddha-ness, your Buddha mind that is very rare to encounter. Certainly in others, if you encounter it, as Nichiren would say, that is an amazing, rare opportunity. That the first thing you should do when you're chanting to your mandala is be thankful, grateful, that your karmic repercussions allowed, provided for you to find this teaching. I have a way out, right? It's like drowning under a sea of water and seeing the surface so distant you'll never make it. And then seeing a scuba gear, face mask, oxygen bubbling out, just sort of float up to you. I'm going to live. Oh my, I'm going to live. Yeah, that kind of appreciation.
My intelligence power is such, my wisdom light shines infinitely, my life is of countless kalpas, from long cultivated karma obtained. The timeless nature of truth, the Tathagata. It's not eternal, it is timeless. Eternal is a samsaric concept, right? You who have intelligence, do not in regard to this beget doubt, but bring it forever to an end, for the Buddha's words are true and not false. Stop being distracted by samsara. Stop it. Like the physician who, with clever device, in order to cure his demented sons, though indeed alive, announces his own death, yet cannot be charged with falsehood, I too, being father of this world, taking on the persona of Tathagata, father of the cosmos, father, male, female, mother of the cosmos, if you prefer, same thing. Begetting the universe is this engine of life, Tathagata. Who heals all misery and affliction for the sake of the perverted people, though truly alive, say, I am extinct. Notice the word extinct. He knows, the translators know, that the word dead is too malleable in the different cultures and civilizations on this planet. Dead is, it ceases to have meaning anymore. There was a time when dead meant dead. No more. But religion ruined all that. Dead is a fetish now. A fetish of the body. Lest, because always seeing me, they should beget arrogant minds, be dissolute, and set in the five desires, and fall into deluded and malicious paths. Because if I don't leave and say that I'm gone, that this is gone, that enlightenment has left the room, nobody will be motivated to achieve it. They'll all just take it for granted. Oh, you remember that guy? I, ever knowing all these beings, those who walk or walk not in the way, according to the right principles of liberation, expound their every law, ever making this my thought. How? And we read this and recite this in Gongyo. How shall I cause all the living to enter the way supreme and speedily accomplish their Buddhahood? Right? Here's my annotation at the end. In this final expedient device, Shakyamuni declares to the monks that he, the embodiment of Buddha, is to leave and never return. For those of remaining attachments to the body corporal, and thusly still do not fully understand the nature of Buddha as energy and not physical, this signals the end of Buddha entirely. With this idea, those monks and nuns fear an end to their own potential enlightenment and therefore long for a return of Buddha. A return of the great teacher so that they may once again follow and emulate rather than discover Buddha within themselves. It is the hope of this expedient that the fervent desire for the return of Buddha will eventually lead these monks and nuns to their own realization and strong resolve to keep, recite, teach, etc., in order that they awaken their innate Buddha. Yeah, Nietzsche understood the profound significance of that chapter. That's the drop the mic moment in the Lotus Sutra. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please use the links in the description.
To find more study materials, the bookstore, the mandala store, the free podcast, all the information on threefoldlotus.com, please avail yourself to all of that. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Stay strong in your practice, keep your health, and I'll see you in the next one, okay? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Bye for now.